This interview was done with Mr. Leonard Lamperer of Namur. It includes Walloon stories in their English translations. Mr. Lamperer is in his 40s and presently is treasurer of the Peninsula Belgian American Club. The interview took place on his farm on April 15, 1976. The interviewer is Linda Green.
Je vais raconter l'histoire d'un petit homme colombien. Par un bien joué, il a attrapé soi. Ça fait la style cabaret. Mais là, il a mêlé trop longtemps. Quand il a sorti, pour faire, est au plein. Il a quitté pour un nez, mais c'est lui, il s'est perdu. Il a tiré dans une courotte, il a tiré toute sa culotte. Notre grosse femme l'a rencontré, mais Pierre a commencé à faire des malins. Ça fait la première pour Pierre d'Espagne, elle lui a donné une danse. Et Pierre a prometté qu'il ne bevra plus jamais paix. Mais 50 jours après, Pierre a encore attrapé soi. Ça fait la retourner au cabaret. Mais notre grosse femme l'a retrouvé. Est-ce que c'est le plus cher à voler? Quand il a tiré à l'œil, Pierre a le nez dégagé. Elle joue d'aujourd'hui quand on ressent à ce nom. On dépouve Pierre, il n'a jamais si plein qu'on coup. That's it. Actually, it's on the order of a poem, you know. And it's about a little guy that apparently had never drank in his life. So one day he thought he was getting dry, and he thought he was going to try and find out what that was all about, see? So he went to the tavern. But he stayed quite a while in the tavern, and he got drunk. So he left for home, and he got lost. And he fell in a ditch, and he tore all his pants. And finally his wife found him. He come and find him, needless to say that she was pretty angry. So he started smarting off, and she beat him up. So he promised her he wouldn't drink anymore. But a few days later, he got dry again, and while his wife wasn't looking, he went back to the tavern, and he got drunk again, but this time she come and find him. And as the story goes, when he got home, she beat him up so bad she broke his neck. And we always say, it's too bad because that's the first time that he ever got drunk, you know, and the last. And that's about what it amounts to. But in Walloon, it sort of rhymes, you know, as you tell the story. And this was, I'm really not even certain where I heard this. Years ago, when I was, maybe 8 or 10 years old. We used to live here with my great uncle. He was a bachelor, he never was married. And that's this was his farm at that time. And him and grandma were in their 70s and 80s, and they were retired, you know, and they used to have a lot of relatives, people their age that would come and visit them, see, and they'd all reminisce about old times. And to me, that was the most interesting part, was just sitting and listening to what happened years ago. And this story came out of that. If I'm not mistaken, the lady that said this was Lucy Mucko. And in fact, I remember, I thought it was so funny at the time that I had her repeated a number of times, you know. And I memorized it at the time. But then for many, many years, I forgot about this. Until a couple of years ago when Françoise came over here and she wanted to record sayings and things like that. And then finally by thinking long enough, it came back to me a little at a time, and I managed to, now I hope I don't forget it anymore. Well, that's what it came about. See?
Do you tell it anymore to other people around here?
Well, sometimes. I've said it a couple of times when we have Belgian club meetings. Some people would like to hear about it, you know, or heard somebody that heard of it. And I've repeated it a few times, but, you know, there's a lot of old sayings. But to just sit here and think of old sayings, it's practically impossible, you know. You think of old sayings, especially if you talk to people and you're talking in Walloon. There are certain, I don't know how to explain it, but if you're talking about any given subject, there are certain times when something will fit the situation, you know, either an old saying or an old poem or something like that. And that's when you, but to say, well, I'm going to say a bunch of old sayings, that's practically impossible. Okay. You know, a couple of years ago when Françoise was over here, I asked her, when I was a kid and I used to listen to these people talk, you know, they used to talk about all the funny things that were going on, the devilish things that were going on, where, for example, a thrashing machine sitting in a barn would run all night by itself.
Huh. Where did that happen?
Well, that supposedly happened right around here. Now, not too far from here, right on the highway, on the way going back to Green Bay, just before you get to the county line, there's a farm, and there's a little chapel on the other side of the road. A chapel was built for that reason, supposedly, I'm told.
For what reason?
Because of
threat. Well, because of, supposedly, now, mind you, this is what I've been told. Little pigs running around with human heads. And like I say, thrashing machines in the barn would run all night. And the minute they'd open the trash floor doors, it would stop. It wasn't moving. Nothing was moving. But the minute the door was closed, it was running. They could hear it run. And they had, well, eventually, as the religion moved up here, that eventually went away. They had priests that came over, and I don't know what they call the ceremony to for ghosts or whatever it is. There's some blessing or some kind that they give, and eventually that went away. But there was a lot of funny things going on at that time, and what these people swear to, and some of them have seen it. And 2 years ago, when Françoise came over here, I'm going to tell you a story that these people told me that happened in Belgium. They got a barn in Belgium that's called, in Walloon, Le Grand de Diable. That means the barn of the devil. Now, supposedly, this man that had this barn built was a farmer. And he had an abundance of crops, but he had no room to store it. So one night, a man came over and told him if he'd sign his soul to the devil for 7 years, by the time the cock crows in the morning, the barn would be built. So he signed. And all night, the barn was being built. But his wife felt pretty bad about this, because I guess what they meant by signing his soul over to the devil is that he had a more or less antagonized people for 7 years. You see? So she got up early and roused the chickens and the rooster out of the chicken coop. And the cock crowed before the barn was finished. And there was only a few boards left to be nailed on that barn. And everything stopped. And after that, they tried to finish the barn themselves. They could not make a board hold on to that barn. It would fall off. Now, when Françoise was over here, I asked her if she had ever heard of the Grand Nadial, and she said, oh, yes. And it's still standing.
And you'd heard about it here?
Yeah, I heard about it from the old people. But I was always wondering, this supposedly was in Belgium, see. And I was wondering how much of a fairy tale was that, you know. But according to her, that is a fact. That barn, there's nothing fictitious about that barn. It is a fact. And the barn could never be finished. Because he got out of his contract, because the deal was that the barn would be finished by the time the cock would crow. But through his wife, the cock crowed early. So he was out of his contract, and he almost had a barn. But they never could finish it. Now, that's some of the stories. And that comes back to here, see. Like I say, I wish I could think of there was a lot more of these things.
Could you tell this one in Walloon for us?
I suppose.
Okay.
But it comes back to a lot of these chapels that were built. Some of them were built because of certain diseases that were in the family, you know. But some of them were built because of things like this. Mm. And this one on the highway here is one of them. And that chapel, if I'm not mistaken, is still there. I haven't really paid much attention lately, but it's about a half a mile before, you know where the Connie Line Tavern used to be that's burnt down?
Which?
All the way back to Green Bay and all.
Yeah.
It's just a pile of rubble there now. Well, about not even a half a mile before that, you'll see a little chapel on the side of the road. Now, if you're going back to Green Bay, it's on your right. Mm. It's right across from a farm. And that farm was where all this supposedly happened.
Who lived in the farm, do you know?
I believe it was a merchant at the time. I can't even swear to that, but I think it was a merchant.
Do you remember any of the other things that went on?
Yeah, maybe we could get this one in Walloon before we go too far.
All right.
Okay.
You want me to start from the beginning where I started with you, or?
Sure, yeah, just tell us about it.
Dans le vitin passé, il y avait des affaires qui arrivent parce que c'est l'ouvrage de Dial. La vie de Jean me dit que des coquinats dans le nez, la machine à bas de tournine, dans la graine, il n'y avait personne alentour. Et quand ils deviennent la lèche, ça ne tourne pas, toi c'est arrêté. Mais comme il serine la lèche, le marché n'a pas de tourneuf, et il me dit qu'il a des petits couchets, qu'il y a des tiers de gens, et c'est l'ouvrage de Dial. Et ça me fait songer dans le vitin, les viagers, cousines, que dans la Belgique, ils avaient une graine d'idéal. Et ça s'est fait, c'est un homme qui avait un sens, et il avait une grosse récolte. Et il n'avait pas de place pour le mettre. Ça fait la sinistre âme à l'idéal pour 7 ans. Et pour la sinistre âme, il lui promettait de lui monter une graine pour mettre ses récoltes. Et dans le nez, il clavine, et la tête des souliers qui souillent, et le signal de l'orage a fait une graine. Mais la femme de Saint-Cyr, elle est en ébénouche, c'est ça, elle est en mou content. Parce que cet homme a vaussiné une stam à l'idéal pour 7 ans, pour faire une graine. Ça fait au matin, tout temps, elle s'est relevée, elle a sti, fait relever les poils, et les coques au de poulie. Elle y avait une promette que les graines seront faites pour coque chantant au matin. Ça fait, elle a sti, fait relever les coques, et le coque a chanté devant que les graines a sti faites. Quand le coque a chanté, taught at the Après ça, il en est fallu travailler pour le diable. Parce qu'il avait une promesse que le grain sera fait pour le coq de 100 ans. Ça fait long saillie d'achever le grain elle-même. Parce qu'il n'avait pas eu à coup que de 50 planches qui ne m'arrivent. Mais ils n'ont jamais essayé. Fait mettre une planche sur le grain. Quand il s'agit de clavier une planche sur le grain, la planche s'est usée. Et l'homme, une seule graine de diable. Et quand la vie est jeune, on est, quand j'ai stocké en main, j'ai souté, qui cousine de la graine de diable. Et quand j'ai demandé à la gens qu'on est de Belgique, pour voir s'il y a une graine de diable, ils m'ont dit, oh, que c'est vrai. C'est dangereux que ça n'est pas ici, devant que l'église n'est pas foirassée pour. Qu'il n'avait pas assez de religion, ou que. Quand la Kyrie ont mentionné par ici, ça a disparu. Mais devant ça, il n'avait pas bramé. Des affaires qui se finent, que c'est en assez songé. That's about the way it was. I wish I could think right now of some more things that happened.
Were there any witches around here?
Pardon?
Were there any people that were called witches?
No, I don't believe so. There was something, but you know, I don't know if this was here or this was in Belgium. That when the people would sign their soul over to the devil, for some reason they had it. I don't know just exactly what their particular job was, but it was to antagonize people or to make them miserable, you know. But I don't know if there was any of that here. All I ever heard of was this business of thrashing machines running by themselves and little pigs walking around with human heads. That I could never buy that one, but that's what they tell me. And you know, I'll tell you. I remember when I was a kid and I used to talk to these people. They weren't fooling, because I've seen tears in their eyes talking about it. So I don't think they could. I mean, you know, whether you want to believe it or not, I don't know. I don't know if I can believe it myself. But for some reason, there must have been something to it, because those people were shook up, man. Now, it's like they said. Eventually, you know, as the religion, as the priests came and they had blessings for this, and eventually that disappeared. But they said at one time it was unbelievable. The going on. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Like a lot of bull, but you know, I mean, if you'd have seen the reaction of some of these people while they were talking about it, it wasn't a lot of bull. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget that. My uncle used to tell me that there was. Apparently there must have been some guys that were doing the work of the devil, because I know the people used to, some guys used to come around, you know, and I don't know exactly how to word it, but try and get you to do certain things, or you got to figure at that time this was a pretty remote area, you know, and even seeing anybody come around in the first place was kind of odd to begin with, you know. So like I say, that's all stuff that I heard. So, I don't know if I should believe it or not. But if you've seen the look on these faces when they were talking about it, they weren't kidding. I don't know.
Was it like a stranger in the area that they would start talking about?
More or less, yeah. But you see, when I think back, in Belgium, it wasn't a stranger. It could have been your neighbor. It could have been your best friend. But here, from what I remember that there were some, if I remember right, that there were some guys going around, but it wasn't somebody you'd know, you know?
What sorts of things would they ask you to do?
Huh?
What sorts of things would they ask people to do?
You know, that's a difficult question to answer. Well, it all boiled down to was doing the work of the devil, whatever that involves. But I really can't answer. To give you a definite answer of what it was, I don't know. I really don't know. But it was to get people to work for the devil. That's what it sounded like to me. But then as your religion came on, things like that disappeared. And, today you never hear that anymore. In fact, to a lot of people, if you say that today, they laugh in front of you. But to me, let's just say, I don't know if I should believe it. I'm kind of on the fence. Because I remember talking to these people, and they weren't saying that for a joke. So.
Were there ever any stories about the swamps around here?
What do you mean swamps?
Well, aren't there some areas where someone might have gone into a swamp and gotten lost? Or?
Oh, there's no swamp that big around here.
Not that big?
No. Uh-huh. Unless maybe the Gardner Swamp. But that's quite a ways from here. But I've never heard of anything that. You know, when the old people came here years ago, they had a rough time. My great-grandma, they were living what is now Shudwer's Dock. And the nearest mill for grinding wheat into flour was Bay Settlement. Now, I don't know if you ever seen pictures of these women with these sacks over their head, haul grain with a sack over their head. It fits on their head, you know, and they carried the wheat on the bag, but instead of holding the bag would fit over their forehead, mm-hmm. and they would actually carry it on their back, but it was their head that was holding the bag up, you know. And she used to go from Shudwer's Dock, walk to Bay Settlement, following the bay, to have her little sack of flour or wheat ground into flour, and then walk all the way back. Now, there were a lot of wolves years ago, and there's one particular time where she made it home with her flour, but she had taken a lunch along to eat on the way, but she had to toss her lunch out to the wolves in order to get out of there. After tossing her lunch out, the wolves started eating her lunch, and she was able to get away. Otherwise, the wolves were after her.
Could you tell about that in Walloon?
Well, I guess I can, yeah. Delvitain, Memarin, alle fémur de fremé, pour des flaux. På Fidel Faren. Bay Settlement. Es el voy. El hastía taque y podale. El abosat de Faren. This is do. El afale. Schutze mecho le. Po plikura oui, parce que la est ici après là. Elle a foutu ce métier là, elle a eu la chance T'écoutes à vous, t'attends qu'elle allait mouiller une semiche. Elle l'a su, elle l'a râlé, elle n'a eu. Un peu pas éruche. I don't know what else I could.
What happened to your family when the fire came?
You know, that's something that I don't hear much about. I really couldn't answer that. I don't know. Now, I forgot the year that fire was.
1870. I think so.
This particular area right here, I don't think was hit too hard. If you go just north of here, they're on Tornado Park, that was bad. But I don't think this particular area, because I remember asking my uncle about that. And he said that things here never burned out that bad, you know. I know a lot of people ran to the bay, you know, and stayed in the water in the bay. But I don't think that anything burned down here. I think they got out of it. As far as I can, you know, I don't think there was too much here. It's something that I should look into yet and find out about. I really don't know. Apparently, there couldn't have been too much. Because that would have been, you know, if there had been any major disaster, it would have been, the story would have been repeated from one generation to the next. So I don't think that it involved too much. Other than that, I don't know. By the way, this is something different. Sorry. I just wanted to ask you, did you ever see the book that the club put out? This was put out on the paper by Matt Clatch.
Yeah.
Did you read that book?
Yeah, we did see that.
So there's some information in there that...
Did you ever hear about Adele Breese? Did your family ever talk about her?
A what?
Wasn't it Adele Breese?
Adele Bryce. Yeah, Adele Bryce. But that was the chapel at Robinsonville. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did your grandparents or whoever talk about that?
Well, they talked about it, but I mean, nothing much more than what we know right now, you know, that she's seen the Blessed Virgin appear to her, and that, you know, that was quite a distance from here. Now, today, it isn't very far. But at that time, you know, that was quite a hike. So, most of what they learned was secondhand, and I don't think anybody from around here knew her, or any of my relation, you know, knew her personally, to my knowledge. But news traveled, and they heard about it, you know, and that's how Robinsonville, how the chapel came about. They had, like our church here in Namur. I don't know if you know this, but this is the first church of the Norbertine Order. You might say that school next to the church that the Belgian Club owns there, that building, you might say that's the start of St. Norbert College. That is the first school of the Norbertine Order. When Father Pennings was the pastor here at Namur. This is what they call the nest, or the seat of the Norbertine Order. Was the first church. And Father Pennings was here, and Father Pennings built the school. Originally, there was a school before that. This isn't really the first one, this is the second one. The old one was built behind the church. And the old church, that all burned down, those all logs. So then they rebuilt this school and that we have for a clubhouse right now. I don't know if you ever seen the sign we had by the road, but that sign isn't really right. They call them the White Fathers, but it isn't. It should be the first. It's the first school of the Norbertine Order.
Do you know why they came here?
Well, you know, in the first priest that came around here years ago now was Father Dalmes. Dalmes or Dames, I don't know, I think it's Dalmes. He's buried at Bay Settlement. You pass that cemetery right next to the highway there, just on the way over here. And, I really don't, if I remember right now, there was a big need for parish for priests. Well, because of this, what I was talking about a while ago with all these devilish things that were going on, see? So news got back abroad that they needed priests. So, well, Father Pennings was one of the first priests to come out here. In fact, at the home of a Delwich, the first mass was said in this area. Some is related to us, but it's short-tail relation. And to this day, you get some of the old people. If they're going to say that they're going to go to church in Namur, they're not going to say Namur, nor they're not going to say Fairland. They're going to say we're going to go to church in Dalwich.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, really?
Is that the same in Walloon? Would you say Dalwich?
Well, yeah, pretty much. You know, it's Dalwich. They would say, on Valley Amessa Dalwich. And even today, you get some of the old, sometimes you still hear that with the old people. Normally today, well, you can go to Mass in Brussels or Rosaire, or, you know, you don't have to stick to this one particular church. Years ago, they went to the closest church. They weren't going to walk an extra 3 miles to go to another church. You had to walk far enough to get to this one, see? And you still hear that with the old people. If they're going to come to Mass here, well, we're going to go to Mass in Dalwich, right?
We're just about running out of tape.
Oh.
Just gotta turn it over.